Today's reading is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word has power, and we thank you for this prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians all those years ago that still resonate for us. I pray, Lord God, that exact prayer for us today. I pray, Lord God, that you will help open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, and our inner being to your amazing and absolutely unfathomable love. Amen. So as Dave said, Dad, sorry, that went wrong. Very tired, clearly. Excuse me. As Dave said, we will be studying some different scriptures just that look at the love of God in a bit of a mini series. God's love is actually at the heart of our faith, isn't it? God is love. It's actually who he is in and of himself. And his love has been so visibly demonstrated to us through the Father sending the Son to be among us in Jesus and in his death and resurrection. But yet, so often, the longer that we go on in our faith, the less time we actually spend really digging into this love. In fact, it can actually be the opposite. Over time, our desire to get closer and be more intimate with God can fade as just life happens around us, and especially when we are knocked about or blown about by life, when things get really, really hard, and we go through really dark times, it's almost as if we can build up a resistance to experiencing God's love. And as I was preparing for this talk, I had a real sense that there was an image and an illustration that might apply to some folk here today. It may not apply to all of you, but hopefully to some people. And so I'd like to invite my glamorous assistant, my husband, Steve, up to help me to illustrate this. Thanks, love. So, sometimes in our journey, we feel like we come across things that mean we kind of say to God, if you really loved me, then. So if you really loved me, you would have kept me safe. Go quicker. Thanks. If you really loved me, then you wouldn't have given me that sickness. If you really loved me, you would have helped me get that job. If you really loved me, you would have answered all my prayers. I can't hear you. And if you really loved me, you would always be with me and I would feel your presence with me. You can understand that this is just an illustration of how sometimes we can build up almost a protective layer around our inner being. That's the word that Paul uses in this prayer in Ephesians. In this scenario, we are still talking to God. We're still praying and we're still saying, if you love me, God, then. So we're still in relationship with God. We're still turning up to church. We're still trying to engage with God. But with the accusations that we are directing to God, it's like we're putting more and more distance between us. It makes it harder then to read the word. It makes it harder for us to worship. Just naturally, because we put something in the way. It's really hard to come to a time of prayer. Thank you. You can go now. Thank you. The only thing that can change that situation is that if the heat is turned up. I know my husband, and he would not be able to stay in all that get-up for very long if he was standing next to you, a really hot fire. And that's what God's love is like. God's love is that hot fire. So however much sometimes we put barriers up and we throw accusations at God because we feel like he's let us down, we feel hurt and life has hurt us, sometimes actually we need to let God love us. And I deliberately said that, let God. Our outer shell needs to melt as we allow our inner being to be seen, touched, healed, and loved by the God of this universe. And the passage that we're looking at today talks about how massive and unfathomable this love that God has for us, how God is. And Paul is praying these verses to the Ephesian church. So he's praying these things for Christians. He's praying this prayer to people who have already accepted Jesus as Lord. They are already following him, and they may have already experienced some level of God's love in their lives. Yet Paul is desperate for them to know more of God's love. A close friend of mine told me her story about experiencing God's love for the first time, and she's given me permission to share it with you today. She'd grown up in a Christian household and had decided to follow Jesus when she was really young. But she felt that God loved her out of a sense of sort of duty, because it was his job to do so, rather than out of a real affection for her. And she also felt that God only really loved her when things were going well. It was only when she heard the testimony of somebody else talking about their experience of God that my friend realized that she was missing out. She wept as she heard that testimony. She was so moved. My friend had been a Christian for 20 years by that point, but she had no idea how much God loved her. She started what she called her love project. She read about God's love. She looked up every scripture mentioned in the book that she'd chosen. She copied them out. She wrote notes on them. She listened to worship music about God's love, and she prayed this prayer in Ephesians over herself for months. And for months, nothing seemed to happen. She was learning a lot intellectually about God's love, which was always good. But actually, there was still something that was missing. And in her words, this is what happened. The night before, I had finished reading my book about God's love for the third time. And so when I woke up, I asked the Lord, what should I do now? I felt him say, just spend time with me. I wasn't really sure what to do, but I began to worship. I got as far as praying, thank you for sending Jesus, when suddenly the Holy Spirit filled the room. His presence was so strong, I couldn't stay upright. Wave after wave of his presence came, and for the first time in my life, I felt God's love. I didn't just know about it, I experienced it. This wasn't the God I thought I knew, remote, distant, and uninterested. This was a passionate, heartfelt, personal encounter with a God who had been pursuing me for years and was desperate to get closer.
This was a God whose love was intensely passionate, intimate, and tender. I have never been the same since. In that encounter, he transformed my dry, difficult walk with him into intimate friendship, a passionate romance. I can also tell you that this same friend has been chronically ill now for 4 years, and she still stands by this testimony. So this passage in Ephesians that we're looking at today is dynamite. Why? Because this love is no ordinary love. This love has the power to transform us. This is a love that invites us to see ourselves through Jesus' eyes and become the person he sees. It's a love that tells us that we are accepted by Jesus, just as we are. In a world that is constantly telling us that our value lies in what we look like, what we have achieved, how much money we earn, what car we drive, or how many likes or follows we have. In a world where our identity can so easily be defined by what other people have said or done to us, the love of God says, enough striving, you are enough. I accept you just as you are. This is a love that is so powerful that it casts away fear. When we really know that we are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no one else's opinion matters. This is what this prayer in Ephesians invites us into today. I've spent 5 minutes just trying to describe to you this love, but Paul tells us that we cannot grasp it with our minds. Paul knows that trying to understand God's love with our minds would only get the Ephesians so far. It's the Holy Spirit who's the one who's going to take them the rest of the way. Theologian Tom Wright says that this prayer prayed by the Apostle Paul is all about discovering the heart of what it means to be a Christian. He says it means knowing God as the all-loving, all-powerful Father. It means putting down roots into that love and having that love as the rock-solid foundation for every aspect of one's life. It means having that love turn into a well-directed and effective energy in one's personal life. And it means the deep and powerful knowing and loving into which the Christian is invited to enter. Or to put the same thing another way, the knowing and loving which should enter into the Christian. So to boil it down even further, you can think about this passage with four words: strength, depth, grasp, fullness. Paul is praying and requesting four things from God. In verse 16, he's praying and asking God that the inner being might be strengthened by the Spirit, which leads to, verse 17, a deeper experience of Christ, which then leads to verse 18, grasping or getting hold of God's great love, which then will result in verse 19, being filled to the fullness of God. Each of those steps actually builds on top of the other. So let's look at them in turn. First of all, strength. Our inner beings are described as being dead before we know Jesus. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that. But when we know Jesus, our inner being comes alive. Throughout Scripture, we see that there's a spiritual side to us. There are so many different scriptures that speak to us about our inner beings being able to see, hear, taste, feel, be exercised, be cleansed, be fed. And so while our bodies, which house our inner being, are crumbling, our inner being is being renewed. So Paul prays for the Ephesians to have the Holy Spirit strengthen and awaken this inner being so that they have the power to grasp the love, his love. Because it's only through supernatural power, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we will be able to grasp his supernatural love. It's only the Holy Spirit who can take a truth that we know in our minds and transform it into something that forms part of the core of who we are, that becomes so central to our innermost being. And if we remember how Stiv was dressed early, you can see how sometimes that can be tricky for God to get to our innermost being. Just think, he's always trying to get close. He's always trying to speak to you. He is always trying to love you. That's how he is. That's who he is. But if we are the ones who have built protective walls, we have put barriers up against him, we believe false things about him, and we accuse him of letting us down, we're not actually allowing that love to penetrate our inner being. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work in us, which actually means we're hurting ourselves. Because it means that we can't experience the next stage. We can't experience that deeper experience of Christ. It means we don't have the power to actually grasp and take hold of the love of God that he has given to us. And it means that we cannot really truly be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So if we turn now to depth, the second part of the process, Paul talks about this sense of depth of God's love in two different images. Knowing how loved we are, it means it's like being planted with roots. That's the first image, roots that go down really deep. Being rooted in this love means that we get everything we need for life. All the plant's nutrients and water comes through the roots. The roots are what keeps it steady when the storms come. When the wind blows the plant, the roots are what holds it in place. So that's the first image. Paul also uses the image of foundations. And if you've ever witnessed a high-rise building being built, I used to work really close to one when I lived in London. There were always buildings going up. And I honestly, for about a year, I used to walk past and nothing seemed to be happening at all. You know, they would just be digging and digging and digging. It took much longer for them to build the foundations and go down really deep so that the rest of the building could go up. And as soon as they dug the foundations, the rest of the building went up what seemed to be incredibly quickly. But what had to go deep was so important, because otherwise the height wouldn't have been able to stand up. Foundations are incredibly important. And so what Paul wants the Ephesians, and he wants us to understand, is that we need to have this solid foundation rooted and established in God's love. And what that means is, when life is throwing things at you and you don't know which way to turn, you don't throw accusations out at God and fear that he has abandoned you in those times. But rather, you have roots that go so deep into a deeper understanding of who Christ is and his love for you, that you can stand on scripture and say with confidence, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus. When we understand this truth and we trust and we know that God is the God of love, we cannot measure our circumstances by anything else. We are able to declare the trust that we see in 1 John 3:16, whatever may be happening around us, which says, this is how I know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for me. Jesus is the measure. I know that Jesus loves me because he died for me. That is the measure, no matter what is going on in my life. Because, of course, God's love for you is most clearly and profoundly seen in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The Father assessed your value to him and decided that you were worth Jesus. That is how precious you are to him. So when we have been strengthened by the Spirit and we've been rooted and established and we go down deep in God's love, then we are able to grasp. We sometimes refer to monkeys having prehensile tails. Their tails are strong and flexible, and they can actually wrap around the trunk of a branch or a tree and hold their whole weight of the animal just on their tail. And this is a picture of what it's like to actually grasp the love of God, to take hold of it. The trunk is out there, but the monkey has to take hold of it with its tail. That's what it looks like for us. We know that God loves us because we're told and we've seen it through Jesus. But sometimes we have to take hold of it. If we grasp and take hold of God's love in this way, it's our choice to keep holding on. This kind of love that we're talking about today is infinitely superior to any kind of human love that we will ever have experienced. Paul says it's a love that is so high and so deep and so long and so wide that it cannot be measured. It's a love that is so vast, it defies human understanding. In Paul's words, he says, it surpasses knowledge. So if you think right now that you know what it is like for God to love you, can I tell you, you don't even know a little bit. None of us do. We are all on a journey of discovering how vast, how high, how deep, how long, how wide is the infinite, deep love of God for each one of us. God's love is unfathomable. Fathom is a word that comes from the Old English, meaning outstretched arms. Fascinating. The noun fathom, which now commonly actually refers to a measure of depth, especially seafaring term, of 6 meters, was actually originally used for the distance from fingertip to fingertip. Do you know anyone who has loved you from fingertip to fingertip? Isn't it the perfect picture of Jesus? In one of the earliest uses of this word, fathom, it was actually also used as a synonym now for our modern use of the word embrace. To fathom someone was to clasp the other person in your arms. We cannot actually fully understand the cross, but that moment was God embracing the world in a way that is both mysterious and glorious. By the 1600s, fathom had taken to the seas, and as a verb, it was used to mean the measure by a sounding line. At the same time, the verb also developed this sort of sense of to probe or to investigate. And it's now used quite frequently to refer to the act of getting to the bottom of something. We cannot wrap our heads around God's love with our intellect. We cannot wrap our arms around God's love because it's too enormous. We cannot investigate God in our minds and get to the bottom of his love. It is too deep. So we need the power of the Spirit at work in our inner being, rooting us in Christ so that we can grasp it and take hold of it for ourselves. I became a Christian when I was really young too, when I was about 5. I remember the day vividly. But as I've grown up, I had to work quite hard actually at not basically doing the thing that I demonstrated with Stiv. I very easily blame God. I very easily accuse God. And I found it very hard when things were going wrong to understand whether or not God was with me or loved me, especially when there were things that I really, really wanted to happen. But God started to show me how King David in some of the Psalms was just really open about how he was feeling. He would pour out his real heart. You know, he would get really raw, and he would say things like, just kill all my enemies, I hate them all. But he would also then praise God. He would bring it back to knowing that God was with him, that God was still Lord, that God was still love. And he kept God in a place of respect and honor, something that I was not doing. And as I started to change my thinking and my practice, and I started to pray differently, I started to know and trust God and his love for me in a different way. I started to see the small ways that God was answering my prayers, and so I could give him thanks, rather than blanket sort of saying that he wasn't with me because he hadn't answered this one big outstanding one for me. It kept me closer to God and drew me deeper into his love, which is actually totally the opposite of what I was doing before, where I was pushing him away. I wonder if sometimes we can leave our faith in the hands of the child or the young person or the young adult we were when we first made a commitment to follow him. Or we can plateau in our enthusiasm or our stamina for adventuring with God on our journey of faith, which may mean that we are less likely to dig those deep, deep roots or build that strong foundation based on a deeper understanding of Christ and his love for us. I know what it's like to go through fallow times with God. Having a child has totally changed the way that I can interact with God and have relationship with him. It looks entirely different now. But I can tell you that the roots that I dug and the foundation that I dug earlier before having Charlie has made a huge difference to how I can operate and be in relationship with him now. All of us need to grasp God's love again. We all need to allow God to make his way into our inner being, to be strengthened, to have that Holy Spirit power so that we can understand and know Christ's love deeper, so we can take hold of that love and experience his love, which is unexplainable and goes beyond words. Just like my friend's testimony I shared earlier, she experienced a measure of the fullness of God when she had her encounter with the Holy Spirit. And that's our final point, fullness. Just as nature doesn't like a vacuum, which is why air or water naturally finds its way through every possible space, God's divine nature also doesn't like a vacuum. God actually wants us to experience his fullness. And so just like the water, he wants to seep into every single crack, every open space in each one of us. But just think, it's not just a drop. We have explored how vast God's love is. He's not going to leave us with just a drop of the fullness of Christ. Just look at this picture of Victoria Falls on the back, on the screen. The Zambezi River flows in, flows through lots of different countries, but anyway, it's the fourth largest river in Africa. And God wants to pour his love on us. It's not just a trickle, but he wants to pour out his love as a deluge. And there is more where it comes from. That river keeps flowing. That the Victoria Falls, the water just piles over the edge. It's thundering. It's enormous. It seems to go on for absolutely miles, and it never seems to run dry. And we can keep coming back to the source. We can keep asking God to fill us afresh with his love, to give us more of that Holy Spirit to enliven and awaken our inner being. And when we have reached the measure of Christ, then we have reached the fullness of God. So we have some way to go. So that's Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. It's that our prayer is also, it's also our prayer for this church, that we can know God so much more deeply, that we keep on digging those foundations, that we keep on pressing into intimate, passionate relationship with God. Let's not be satisfied to keep our boundaries, to keep holding our inner being as a under protection. Because God's love wants to melt us and meet us. So can I encourage us all to rest and wallow, not in a negative way, in the I'm a happy hippo way, in something that we find pleasurable, in God's love, to allow this to happen so that we can be transformed, to allow our barriers to break down. So can I encourage us to come in repentance for those accusations, those barriers that we've put in place, the false beliefs that we've held against God, and ask him to come and meet us, to touch us in our inner being, in that deep place where we long to know his love. Let's pray.